Well, it's great to be here. I lived in D.C. for about 15 years working for the National Conference of State Legislatures, which is where you got that highly varied portfolio of activities, working with policymakers in the states. How do I advance this? No animals were killed in the process of putting this together. The project, I was actually looking at the three authors. Can I back up? No. I was looking at how's the backtrack?
No. Left, yeah.
Yeah. The three of us, in some ways, parallel the title of the overall Balancing Equity, Effectiveness, and Efficiency. Bill Primmerman is the director of the Community Coalition, so he's our equity guy. He's been there in the community doing work with the small employers, actually with the community. Maine has organized its public health system. We really don't have a county health system. There's a state health system. A couple of the largest cities have public health systems, but most of what we have are informal mishmash that has been formalized into a set of coalitions that are geographically comprehensive around the state. So he runs a geographically comprehensive community public health coalition in Somerset County, which is a very poor western county. And he's been working very actively with the small businesses, providing wellness activities to people who are working for, we're calling them micro businesses, 5 or less, 10 or less, very, very tiny. And if you follow Access, know this is the group most likely to be uninsured. Andrew Spaulding, until next week, and I'll explain why near the end of this, has been the state person who is in charge of worksite wellness. So he represents the effectiveness. He knows all about what constitutes a real worksite wellness program and how you can tell whether you have a program in place that should give you real changes in wellness that you could bank. And then I'm someone with the efficiency. I have a bit of an economic background, and one day I heard Bill and Andy wringing their hands about Bill's great program, but how could they come up with sustainability? And I went, aha, you know, under the Accountable Care Act, we're going to have these insurance exchanges. Wouldn't it be fun if we could figure out a way to get wellness as part of the insurance exchanges? It's the same market. It's these tiny, tiny little employers. Most insurance companies give you discounts for wellness. Can we figure out a way to get a discount for wellness that's provided through the exchanges based on approved wellness activities? And we were off to the races. Everyone we talk with who knows anything in the wellness field or in the insurance field is excited about this. This is a niche that absolutely gets neglected. Sometimes the small business are like individuals, and sometimes they're like employees, and it's really hard to figure out how to make it all work. And the place we're doing this, so let me start, that's the lead-in of how we got there. But here we are in Somerset County, Western County. If any of you have seen those county health statistics that just came out, it's either the bottom or the next to bottom on every indicator in the state. Just miserable, poor, rural, aging, industries in decline, because poor and industries in decline, high rates of alcoholism, you know, lots of problems, socioeconomic problems, poor county health statistics, high rates of obesity, poor eating habits, smoking. On the other hand, Bill has a very engaged community health partnership. He's been very effective at mobilizing all sorts of community resources. People really get it. The businesses, the leadership in the community thinks of themselves as a community that wants to move towards health. He's had real success. They're very strong ties among providers and businesses. And this is something I want to say to you. You may not think of businesses as part of the public health community, and I would recommend you start to think of them as part of the public health community. They've got money at stake. One of their biggest investment is their employees, and anything to get their employees healthier is going to save them money and is going to have them a more effective workforce. And if you can talk with them about it, they'll be very happy to see you, and they'll be supporting you not only as you come in the door, but in the community. And that was part of what this project was about. So micro businesses are neglected by insurance and the wellness market. They're unpredictable, so it's hard to do actuarial modeling with them. One of the things we found out as we did the baseline was that although about 95% of people in the first group that we got into the project were insured, only about 40% of the businesses offered insurance. So most people were being insured under a spouse, or they were buying individual coverage, or perhaps some of them were either on Medicaid or on Medicare. So again, you have something that's got both an employment and non-employment nexus. It's very hard to come up with things that make that work. Very small. The smaller the business gets, you don't have any economies of scale. When you're setting up a wellness program, there's one big lump of cost up front, and then there's just sort of marginal costs. But to do that for one person or 20 people or 100 people is not all that different. So the problem with very small businesses is your one-time costs are high, and that's always been put forward as a problem with insurance. Same issue. The fixed costs don't get diluted. And there's no margin. You can't have, if you've got three employees, you can't have two of them go off and do a wellness program because you'd have to close your door and no one come in. You wouldn't have business. Everything is on a very, very tight margin with the small businesses. And many of the employees can't afford insurance, although that was something we were pleasantly surprised. It was a much higher level. We thought going in that probably about 40% would not be insured. And so far, at least the people that we've enrolled have mostly been insured. There's probably some selection bias going on. So the opportunity was the insurance exchanges. State-level health reform offered a model for community-based grouping. So, you know, what I described, the way the community coalitions are doing the work, they're called Healthy Maine Partnerships. And around the state, they're required to do community-based wellness and worksite wellness, which they do to varying degrees and varying levels of strength. I really like the Accountable Care Act in that I think the way it puts out incentives does a lot to break down health versus medical care. At least when you're looking on what's going on the insurance side, it really has some very strong incentives for wellness. So it did create a policy opportunity to put this model out and say, you know what, we're talking about paying for health. And we've got a model that lets you pay for health, not medical care health. So by golly, you know, get behind us and do that. So again, it's been a really fun opportunity to rally people who you wouldn't normally think of as partners to do the right thing. The business and brokers have been really happy because their rates go up and up and up, and what we've proposed is a model that gives them an opportunity to say, you know, if you enroll your guys in this, what we're operating right now, we've got some foundation money, and we're simulating two things. We're simulating a tax credit, and we're simulating an insurance rebate. So the tax credit would be a one-time lump sum that you'd get as you're getting a program set up. So we're allowing businesses that show they do certain starting things to have $100 per employee, which is really, it's nominal. It isn't covering the full cost, but it's a nominal one. And then we're simulating insurance rebate. And the way that typically works is as you're going, if you then are engaging people in the program you set up. A lot of insurance companies will have rebates. The Blue Cross in the Anthem in Maine has a 5%, I think, rebate, but it's employers 10 and up. So this was a piece of market that was being left out. People also don't participate in those very much. And the problem being, you can't just have a program out there. You have to have someone go and take you by the hand. And the smaller you are, the more that's needed. Well, the Healthy Coalition is the group that takes them by the hand. They've got a program in place in the community. They've got resources in the community, but they interface with the workplace. So I describe it as an exoskeleton instead of an endoskeleton for providing wellness. It's a very interesting model, blending workplace. So the hospital wants to do it. That's why they're on board to reduce benefit costs. What we want to do, some of the things we want to learn is how to make this work. obviously, as you're doing health risk assessments, with a large employer, you give composite indicators. You say, okay, you've got 30% of your employees are interested in weight reduction. You've got 10% who have diabetes issues. Well, if you've got 4 employees, you can't do that. So this is where the community model allows you to do something like that, and you do it by aggregating the information across all the small businesses in the community. So you're able to get that group type data on overall health issues that helps you identify how you want, what resources you want to mobilize, what are the greatest demand for intervention, you know, do you need to build a walking trail, do you need to come up with better nutrition practices without running into the kind of privacy issues you would have if you were doing it one by one with small businesses. We've paid a lot of attention to understanding small businesses, again, are different from larger businesses. On the one hand, they are right on the margin, but in some ways, the bottom line is less the number one driver than relationships. You're in a community. You know, when there are 4 of you, you get family dynamics. And so the notion that this is something that's good for people, this beneficence motivation is very, very strong in this group. And we knew that going in. Our members told us that, and then we were very delighted because there was a recent publication in the wellness literature that said that, that had that same finding. So we're looking at what are the policy changes, can we do it, and can we come up with something that'll be economically viable? So we're also looking at what they're spending to put something like this in place. If this project works, at the end of the second year, we want to hand over to Anthem and say, okay, so here's the model, here's how we show it works. You're going to be offering the product. Our advisory committee includes the vice president or actuary, you know, major leaders in the major insurers in the state, the chair of the state legislative health committee. There's been very active, there's a new piece of insurance legislation, which is quite controversial, but the author of that insurance legislation is on the committee. So we've got the right policy people at the table to carry this out as we go forward. So we don't know what's going to happen there. A lot of this is just to discover what unexpected things will develop as we do this that we need to plan. But we think this is a viable model. We think it's also a really important one because this is where the most uninsured people are. Just as you said, the poorest people, you know, within the work sector, this is where the people who don't have access are, and they're the ones who don't have access to the wellness any more than to the insurance. And it's a model of how to get it there. Andy has really held our feet to the fire on using from the literature, the best practice approaches to wellness, and what we are doing is going employer by employer and seeing where their current status is and what needs to be improved. So what I have back there is a handout, actually, is just our preliminary findings, which gives you an idea of what our baseline is like. And the wellness provider will be using that to figure out what they need to do going forward. This is a really cool, this is Bill Premerman's model that shows what they're doing, how you blend the population-based programs and the individual support within a worksite environment. And this model is the heart of what we're doing there. One of the things that's really key to that is constant measurement. We are measuring at baseline, we're measuring halfway through and at the end, and people will get reimbursed based on the progress that they're making. So there is a real incentive. As I say, it doesn't cover the full price, but it's a marker. And markers matter. This is one of these things you're not supposed to do. It's way too much detail. If you're interested in it, download it. Pick up my card and ask me for it if you aren't signed up for the whole thing. But I think I've kind of described what happens. You know, you have the outreach to the workplace. You figure out what the needs are. You figure out what you can do at the workplace. Individuals are referred to support staff in the community. They're referred to programs in the community. And community programs, in fact, get revised based on what those overall needs are. Another set of things, it also has one of the things that's been really nice, they have a portal to one of the commercial vendors, WellSource, so people have their individual portal. So you not only have the kind of individualized outreach, but you also have a private place. That's nice also because It's being used for data collection. And again, you get over the small numbers. A small employer couldn't afford it, and B, you'd have privacy issues. This way, it's being managed by someone who's not related to the employer, so they can work with the people who are signed up, maintain confidentiality, provide the support they need, even though they're in these very tiny workplaces. And, you know, I'm almost done, so I'm actually right on schedule. So right now, we're in the how do you design? What are the issues we do? Is this the right incentive? Do we need to change the incentives? How we've done this designed around one particular model where it is a community partner, but it should be possible to offer this with any kind of a wellness vendor. And how do we offer this model and design it in a way that it's clearly articulated how you plug other wellness vendors into groups? So you're offering, you know, if the exchange is a regionally defined pool, that there's a regionally defined wellness component that you add on that gives you a discount in that insurance pool, which is our bottom line of it. We've got lots of medical home experiments going on in Maine. We're trying to coordinate this with the medical home experience, with accountable care organization experiments that are going on, and selling it to everybody we can. Now, the reason I said Andy isn't here anymore, he has been working at adapting the HERO scorecard, which is a major national approach to evaluating its health enhancement research organization. They're the big boys wellness. They're like NCQA for employee wellness for big companies. And there has been a major contract from CDC to do worksite wellness. And the work he's been doing in this project, adapting HERO scorecard to use with the small business for both the readiness for the tax credit and the activity, has really helped support him. And he's been stolen away by the vendor who won this big CDC contract to do worksite health initiatives, which makes us a little sad. But it also is very exciting because the stage after this on this project is to disseminate. And so the very fact that he's moving on means immediately this model gets disseminated. He's there, he's engaged in this national experiment with the insights we're learning from that. It's going to continue to serve on our board as an external contact. So I'm sorry, I probably talked way too long, but ask me more after. And as you can see, I'm very excited about this. I want to thank the Maine Health Access Foundation for the generous funding.